So this morning, I know normally we do sermonizing, we do it up there. I feel like I'd be getting up in Nigel's office if I got up in there. So I'm just going to walk around here. If that's okay. And if it's not okay, I'm going to walk around here anyway. You're just going to be uncomfortable because we all have to learn to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Right, Tim? Where's Tim? Okay. So what I'm going to try to do this morning, and I'm going to try to tell it slow because Nigel told me there's some things, there's some rules about talking this morning. And one of them is no political jokes, no political commentary, no Trump stuff, okay? I didn't write him back and said, is Obama stuff okay? Because technically, then he told me, under no circumstances should I let you leave here before noon. So I don't know what the rule is there. So if we make it before noon, don't tell him, okay? Now, what I do want to do is I want to tell you a story. And this is a story that happened about 1988. Randy, you listening? There was a girl. that was a stretch. I had, in fact, I think that was after I transitioned from one church, hadn't transitioned to another one. And I was going to a little church on the south side of San Antonio on Marbach called Victory Baptist Church. Need to know, we got any Reformed Baptists in here? Okay. Not that Baptists are bad, but there are some things about Baptists, especially Baptists in the South, that are fairly common. So anyway, I'm at this church. Preacher's name is Dwayne Nichols. Now, for the record, I am not pronouncing Dwayne Nichols in Southern. His name was Dwayne Nichols. D-E-E-W-A-Y-N-E. That's what it said on the sign. Dwayne Nichols. He's actually a pretty good preacher. Pretty solid theologically. It was a worthwhile time to be there. So I'm in this church, Victory Baptist Church. Now, for those of you who don't know, I am an analyst by nature and by profession. Deductive in my thought process. Ready to test things and to establish and to prove. It's what I do. It's what I do for a living. It's what I do personally. It's what I do to drive people nuts. And I don't even do it on purpose. It's just what I do. So I'm in this Baptist church. We're going through the service. Been a fine service. And over the course of this service, we get to the part where everybody's got their head bowed. We're saying the final prayer. And Dinah will recognize this. And then they ask the question. They say, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there is anybody out there in this congregation right now that if you died tonight, you wouldn't know for sure. Sorry, I go Baptist for that. You wouldn't know for sure. You'd wake up in heaven. I just want you to raise your hand up. Raise your hand up and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me, okay? Well, we're there with every head bowed, every eye closed. And did I mention I'm an analyst? There's almost nothing I know for sure. So now there are folks of you out there right now that you had one of those moments and you do know for sure, and God bless you. But for the rest of us, just bear with me for a minute. So I put my hand up. I said, sure, man, give me some of that. I'll take that. So we're sitting there, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I get a tap. And I look over, and there's this young fella. He says, I'd be honored to take you down to the altar. I wouldn't want to dishonor the fella. I mean, I was just looking for a prayer, right? So he leads me on down the aisle, every head bowed, every eye closed, and then I get down to the altar, and of course, the second team comes in, right? This would be one of the church elders, deacons. Tell you the truth, I never found out. Pretty sure he was a deacon, though. Because this fella, for those of you in my generation, you might remember John Carradine. Okay, tall, lanky, kind of triangular head. Well, this guy was kind of a John Carradine-looking fella. Okay, stereotype. He was fairly tall, lanky fella, triangular shape. Pompadour haircut, space in his teeth right out here, wearing a jacket that looked like somebody shot and field dressed a couch. Thank you. I actually stole that joke over 30 years ago, but I kept it. It's a good one. And everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say that. And he walks up. Now we're going to hit a problem because he's been trained to evangelize. But his evangelism training is fairly limited. So he's coming at me with your standard Bible verses And we're like an old couple because I'm sitting here finishing his sentences for him because I know the verses. That's not the problem. Problem is me. I'm an analyst. And you didn't ask me, do I believe? You asked me, do I know for sure? And said it with a southern accent, which makes it just very, very impressionable to me. So I'm trying to explain to this fella, you know, that the problem we're dealing with here is not one of me not knowing these verses. It's not one of me not understanding what I'm supposed to know. It's not me not having read, obviously, clearly 30 years ago, I hadn't read it as many times as I've read it now, but not me failing to understand the basics. The problem is you asked me if I knew something. And I would like to. And I can't say that I do. So if you want to pray for that, go head on. I'm here. Now, he's starting to get a little frustrated, starting to sweat a little bit. I can tell you, at this point, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, and every neck hurts in that room right now. So finally, this other fella comes along, and he leads me off into the kitchen. So he takes me off in this kitchen, and he's apparently one of the associate pastors or something associated with this church. And so we go off into the kitchen. Now, outside of the kitchen, everybody can raise their heads, stretch their necks. Life can get back to normal for these people, and they can make it to the football game, the early one, which you should all be able to make pretty well if you're worried about that, because this is not going to take as long as it sounds. So we're back in this kitchen, and now this fellow starts to talk to me, and we get back into the same conversation. It's not that I don't know the verses. It's not that I don't know what it says. It's that this is the question you've asked me, and this is the answer I have to give. Because I'm an analyst. It's how we do. So then he begins to tell me some things about himself. Turns out this guy is kind of a youth pastor. He works with a lot of inner city kids. A lot of kids that have grown up with a pretty rough life. Then he told me a story. And he said, so there was this one time we were going to take a bunch of kids out camping. And we're telling these inner city kids about this camping trip that we're about to take. And so we start to describe to them how we're going to show up on Saturday morning. And in the middle of this inner city, tall buildings, dirty, dirty streets, people hanging around, bad things going on all over the place. So we're going to climb on this bus. And we're going to start to head out of town. And as we drive out of town, at first, it's just going to be all the streets you know. But we're going to keep driving. And as we drive, you're going to notice that things are going to clear up a little bit. The buildings are going to start to get a little smaller. The air is going to start to get a little cleaner. You're going to notice that the houses are going to become farther apart. You're going to start to see yards and small homes. And then we're going to keep driving. And as we keep driving, and he's still telling us, the kids are looking at him like, come on, man, ain't nothing like that in the world. Because these are kids who grew up inner city. It's all they know. So he continues. Told you I said kids. So he continues to tell the story. And then we're going to get to the point where they're mostly farmhouses, and they're going to be spread way out, and there's going to be fields and, you know, some livestock you're going to see that you've never seen before. And then we're going to come to a place that we're going to turn off onto a little two-lane highway off the freeway. Then we're going to drive down there a couple miles. Then there's going to be this little dirt road. Then we're going to hit that dirt road, and we're going to be riding down. It's going to be a little bumpy at that point. Going to come back this old tree that fell down a couple years ago. It's got, you know, like critters living in it. And you're going to get to see those. And we're going to drive a little farther. We're going to go over this bridge, just a little one-lane bridge, get us across a creek. And then finally, we're going to get to the clearing where we're going to camp. Now imagine this as a bunch of inner-city kids, 10, 12 years old. You've never seen anything outside the projects. You've never seen anything outside the dirty streets that you've walked for most of your life. You've lived scared to death the whole time, and this guy is telling you about a place you're going to go to where it's open, it's pretty, it's clean, there's green vegetation all over the place. It's not South Texas. Green vegetation all over the place. There's birds, you know, maybe rabbits, whatever. You know what? And you're hearing all this. Now, what's your reaction to that? I mean, man, I'm an analyst. I'd be skeptical at best. But you know, a handful of those kids got permission. And a handful of those kids got on the bus. So now they're on the bus, but you can imagine them getting on the bus. Yeah, right. Ain't no thing like this anywhere. Maybe it's going to be all right, but it's not going to be what it can't. That doesn't even exist. That's not real. Nothing is like that. But they got on the bus. So the bus starts to drive out. And after a little while, the buildings start getting a little shorter. And the kids are looking at this, and they're thinking, okay, the building's a little short still. Now, I'm cool, right? I'm cool. Got my shoes I can't afford. I'm cool. I'm good. This is not real. We're just going to talk smack about this all the way, then we're going to make fun of them when we get there. Keep driving. Pretty soon you're in single-family dwellings out in the burbs. Houses are farther apart. Got lawns out in the front, and they're seeing this. And they're looking at this and they're saying, okay, this looks a little suspicious. No, this still can't be real. There's still no place like this in the world. It cannot be true. Then they keep driving. Pretty soon it's all farmhouses. Spaced out, livestock, crops growing. Maybe a couple of them starting to think, yeah, but no. But they keep driving. Sure enough, they come to that two-lane road, and they turn right. And some of the kids in here are starting to look real suspicious. They're like, this can't be real, but so far. And they keep driving. Come down, hit the dirt road. At this point, they're even afraid to be hopeful. They're scared because this is starting to look real. And they're just waiting for the lie. The lie has to be coming. But they drive down the dirt road. They get to that fallen over tree. They see the coons and whatever living in that thing, and they keep driving. They hit the bridge. One lane bridge, creek, pure water running through it. Not Texas. They cross that bridge. A little ways down, they come to that clearing and they get off the bus. And when they get off that bus, green foliage everywhere, trees, birds, squirrels. It is stunning. It is beautiful. And for the first time, these kids see this and they know it. And they believe it. Now it's real. Now, there were way more kids than there were sponsors on that bus. And it's fair to say those kids could have got off that bus pretty. They could have hijacked that bus. They could have taken that bus anywhere. But they didn't. They didn't believe when they got on the bus, but they wanted to believe. They didn't think it was real when they got on that bus, but they wanted it to be real. And they stayed on that bus for that whole trip. Never left the bus. But the truth is, they didn't really know until the bus got to the clearing. Now, it was at that point that I finally understood what Hebrews 11:1 talks about. That would have been our text for today if I'd have told you that earlier. Hebrews 11:1 describes faith. And does it describe faith as knowledge? It does not. It describes faith as a confident hope. Depending on your translation. Sometimes just hope, but always with the air of a confident hope. It is a trust, Luke. It's a trust. Now, I never saw this guy again, which I find interesting because I was back to that church many times. He was there that day. Now, whether I had just entertained an angel and didn't know it, I don't know. I really don't. Bible says we do that sometimes. But I did walk away with an understanding and a prayer. See, I won't ever come to a place where you can ask me if I know and I can tell you yes. I won't be there. It's not my nature. It's not a nature that's been given to me. I am an analyst. I know things when I can double blind test them, when I can set up control groups, when I can run statistical analysis. That's how I know things. What I can do is I can trust, just like Luke did when I showed him the pictures. And I can believe and I can walk based on that trust. So what that man gave me that day was a prayer. A prayer for me. And a prayer that's going to become the title of this sermon. And that prayer is, Lord, help us stay on the bus. Because for some of us, and I hope it's not just me or I just wasted your time, for some of us, that's the getting comfortable with being uncomfortable that we have to work with. For some of us, that's going to take it there. But I would tell you, if you had the knowledge that Dwayne wanted me to have, you wouldn't need faith because you'd have knowledge. And we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So that was my prayer for me, and it's my prayer for you that whatever happens and whatever shakes us up, that the Lord will help us stay on the bus. And Father, once again, thank you that you brought us together this morning. We thank you for being a God that loves us, for a God who is more than worthy of our worship, who is any and everything we could possibly have asked for and things we didn't even know we needed. Thank you that you forgive us for the fact that our faith is not perfect and cannot be. And we thank you that you've helped us stay on this bus and that this bus will bring us home. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.